Iowa everywhere.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
The world will never be the same once you see it through the eyes of Fairway Frank.
Frank, we'll sell London broils, New York strip steaks, pork chops, pork steaks.
Frank's mama always said, life is like a T-bone steak. When you shop at Fairway, you know exactly what you're going to get.
Chris Williams.
Chris.
Chris Hassel.
Two guys named Chris.
Presented by Fairway Meat and Grocery.
From the Channel Seed Studios, this is Iowa Everywhere.
Channel Seed. Seedsmanship at work.
What's up? Welcome to Two Guys Named Chris. Another Wednesday installment due to these NCAA tournament games. I am in Boston. Do you ever just, when you get into Boston, you start talking like, I'm from Boston? Do you ever do that?
I've never really liked Boston.
What the hell is wrong with you? You really are a communist, aren't you?
I lived in Connecticut. And I was around a bunch of Boston people, and then you go to Boston, and it's a shit show to try to get around. I mean, it's a cool city. It's just the logistics. If you're not, where are you staying downtown? You probably have a decent spot where you're staying at.
Actually, it's perfect. The Media Hotel is literally a minute walk to the arena.
See, that's if you've got it like that, Boston, I'm sure, is great. But it just trying to get there logistically from a couple of hours away in a car, and then trying to figure out where you're gonna park the car, because you just can't drive in Boston. It's a mess.
I've only been here for 12 hours. But what's fascinating, just looking out my window, is just there's like you're downtown and it's just these old tiny buildings. You know, it feels like I'm in England or something.
Into the people. The people aren't quite as sophisticated as Englishmen.
They're just big assholes, right? Aren't they? Like, that's what I've heard.
Well, I would say...
That guy who used to call into the Murph and Andy show and was just yelling all the time.
Oh, Boston Bobby? Yeah.
Yeah.
They're all like that. I would say just... So I've lived in Connecticut, worked with a lot of Boston fans, worked with a lot of New York fans. I've worked with a ton of Philadelphia fans, especially down here at HQ. It's weird that there's how many like Philadelphia fans there are. The most annoying fans, the ones that you just don't want to be around, are the Boston fans. And then I think number two is Philly. Philly is number two. It's worse than New York, believe it or not.
Philly fans, they're the ones that were threatening Grandma Millie. Remember that when the Vikings played there?
Yeah.
They were trying to make an example of Grandma Millie, and it just really chapped my ass.
They took Santa out back and broke his legs.
Ugh. And then, do you remember when Iowa State played at UConn and they broke Cy's arm?
That's right. Yes.
That was my friend. Zane.
Cy's your friend? Well, you can't give out names to the mascots.
Guy, once you're graduated, it's fine. Yeah, my buddy Zane.
Oh, my God.
Good looking hat.
Did you see the hat? What are Keith and Andy going to say about that hat when they see him?
What is that?
I had the
Iowa Everywhere rope hat.
It's a beautiful looking hat. Then the Death Trap hat. We are presented, as always, by our friends at Fairway Meat and Grocery. I'm going to try and find some seafood tonight.
Ooh, yeah.
I love seafood. You know, and I have been indulging. Fairway's got a phenomenal seafood selection. We always talk about their meat. Probably don't bring up the seafood enough. Like, it's really good stuff. So shout out to our friends at Fairway. We are in the Channel Seed Studios. And I actually, Fouch over at Channel Seed gave me a Channel Seed notebook. It's really nice. It's really compact. You know the old reporter notebook that we used to have? You flip it over. It's one similar to that. Since all my other notebooks got stolen, it's now
I still
my,
don't know this story, by the way. You still have not even...
We don't have time to do it right now, and it's like we have all these
other
things.
You haven't even told me off the air yet.
Yeah, well, I haven't...
I have no clue.
It's because I've been freezing my credit. I've been changing bank accounts. I've been traveling. It's just been a shit show. My dog, like, you know, everything's been going on. But I had a
shitty travel day.
Oh, it was the worst yesterday. There was so much that went wrong. And I'm not crazy about your Delta, but there's the Road Dogs, Rob Gray, Mark Freund.
Looks like you're having a gay old time there with a bunch of airport beers.
Well, we had a 3-hour layover at Longoria, so.
Longoria?
Yeah, that's what it is, isn't it?
LaGuardia.
Yeah, whatever. And I just, you know, just I don't there's the my flight from Des Moines to New York. You ever get a chatterbox next to you?
Oh my god, other than the plane like going down, that's the worst case scenario on a plane.
Oh, this lady, she was a sweetheart, sweet gal.
So I walk in every time. I make sure on that jet bridge that I get my AirPods in my ear.
Yeah,
if
but
you
this
get those in your ear beforehand, then you're in a pretty good spot because someone, you know, someone starts talking to you. You can act like you can't hear them, and then if they want to speak up again, and then you pull it out. What? Huh? What was that? Oh yeah. Uh huh. Yep. Okay. Uh huh. Okay. Have a good flight. And then you stick it right back in your ear.
Well, this gal, it didn't matter. Like, it could, I could have been starting a chainsaw and she would have been picking my brain on everything. I don't want to be mean because she, realistically, she's from Iowa. She could probably see this. She was very sweet. I was not in the mood is the only thing, you know, like maybe on a different day, I would have been much more willing to, I was just not in the mood. It was,
did you have two connections then?
No, we only had the one, Detroit, there was like a snowstorm in the upper Midwest that had everything screwed up. Minneapolis, Detroit, Chicago was all pretty much locked down. So we had to hop on that. We got moved and I got here about 5 hours later. It could have been way worse. I could have been like stuck in Charlotte or something like that.
So you're saying this is Delta's fault? My precious baby Delta?
No, I just... Delta, have you ever paid $19 for internet and then it doesn't work?
Oh my God. So you were on a shitty plane.
Is that the key? It's all about
the plane?
So you
must have been on a 717. So that's
terrible.
The plane that I took. That's the plane that flies into those shitty towns and airports like Des Moines and Omaha.
I want my money back. I want my $19 back.
I had the same thing when I flew from Atlanta to Omaha and Omaha back to Atlanta. I had planned this whole trip out because I'm sitting there thinking, okay, you know, I'm in the air during games, but I'll be able to watch these games. I'll be able to stream these games. Everywhere I go on Delta now, it's free internet and it's free streaming. So you can watch all that stuff. Well, on this 717, which I'm sure is what you got too, you have to, one, pay for the internet, which only comes on after you get up to 10,000 feet and then goes off as soon as you get below 10,000 feet. It doesn't have streaming capabilities, so you can't watch anything. You just follow the game cast or whatever. And then it's in and out the whole time. It's horrible. When I was flying back to Atlanta, it made me buy internet twice. I bought the flight pass, and then halfway through, it's gone, making me buy it again. So I just sent an email to the Delta CEO yesterday, said, I want my goddamn money back.
You sent it to the CEO?
Yeah, well, when you're Diamond, you get the direct line to the CEO.
Yeah. See, I'm only Silver.
Yeah, I think you just talked to somebody in China.
Yeah, so the other scenario. Never flown first class, okay?
That's not surprising.
And I had like points and stuff. I'm going to upgrade because it's like it's a long flight and I was just really tired. And so I'm trying to use my points to upgrade because there's like 3 first class seats there.
Mm-hmm.
And we were apparently, it wouldn't let me do it online.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like talk to a gate agent. So I talked to the gate agent and she says, well, you're going to have to come back within an hour of the flight because we're trying to get this one to Minneapolis off the ground. I'm like, okay. Come back in. And then if you get within like an hour, you can't change your seat anymore, apparently. I'm like, well, you just told me to do that. And they didn't even fill the seats. So like what? They wouldn't let me upgrade.
Wait a
and
second.
Then
you can't tell me there were first class seats available.
There open. Were 3.
No way.
Yes.
See, this was on that 717 that's probably operated by some other weird, you know, regional thing. That's not really Delta.
Russian Airlines.
Yeah, it's Russian Airlines will operate a Delta flight.
Well,
from a shitty airport like Des Moines.
I walk on there and you know what? It really just pisses me off and I want to get violent, to be honest. When you walk onto the plane and all the first class people are and they got their collars, you know, and they got their fancy little laptop, like their tablets with their keyboards.
They already have a drink.
Whether it's
coffee or it's a cocktail.
Yeah. They're very comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just sitting there typing or they got their fancy like spectacles on. And then they just look up at you like, and they're judging. And then I got to go back to the exit row because that's the best I can do with Chatty Cathy back there.
Exit row is pretty good.
I wasn't going to complain about that.
See, I don't even, and when I'm in first class, I don't even look at the peons that board late and have to go to the back of the plane. I don't make eye contact with your kind.
Why are all the people in first class, like, do they have to dress up on the flight? Like, or can you just wear sweats?
I don't dress up. I wear something like this. I'm wearing like a...
All these...
So I have a specific plane outfit.
Oh.
It's always like, what are the, you know, just not sweatpants, but like the kind of like athletic pants with my, you know, just regular running shoes. And a t-shirt with a long sleeve over the top of it. Like a long sleeve like this, a pullover, or a hooded sweatshirt. That's my plane outfit. Whether I'm in first class or I'm in the back of the plane next to the lavatory. That's how I go.
Again, why do they call it a lavatory? Why don't they just call it a bathroom on a plane?
It's a lavatory on a plane.
Why is it? Why do they use all these weird language? Like, oh, can you stow your baggage? No, I'm going to put it in the thing.
How about the bulkhead? You like the bulkhead?
Oh, yeah. Like, come on. Like, why are we doing this? It doesn't make any sense. You know what I've come around to? I'm an Allegiant guy.
Oh, come on. Allegiant is one of the worst.
Nope.
Allegiant is for the cheap ass that doesn't want to pay money for comfort.
It's like Elaine said in the Seinfeld episode. We should live in a world with no classes. When Jerry gets the free first class ticket,
mm-hmm.
and he's with that Victoria's Secrets model.
I can't fly anything other than Delta anymore. Like, you shit on Delta. It might have been a crappy day for you, but Delta is by far the best airline in the United States.
You were blowing them up on Twitter like 2 months ago.
Well, that was a gate agent that totally screwed up. And Delta made it right. Delta refunded our tickets.
Well, I'm going to raise hell about this internet situation.
Yeah, it's bad. But that's, again, those aren't actual Delta flights. Like, it says Delta on the plane, but they're not operated. Delta farms those things out.
You want to hire a communist operation, then
they farm those out to some minor league operation. It's terrible.
Two guys here on Iowa Everywhere. Again, I'm in Boston. I'll be doing media stuff all day.
Yeah, what's the plan today? What time does that all start?
I actually just bumped into our old buddy Bryce Miller, who's here covering San Diego State. They're going this morning. I think San Diego State has all of their festivities at like 10. Brad Underwood in Illinois gets going at like 11:30. So I'll be heading over there right after we get off.
Okay.
Iowa State's middle of the afternoon from the Garden here. And that's pretty much it. We'll be a busy day. And then tomorrow's like a weird day because that game, it's not going to start until like 10:30.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Like, it's crazy.
What in what world is it right to start a game this important at 10:15 local time at night?
It's awful.
And that's if everything goes well with the first game. I mean, there's a chance this tip gets pushed back even more.
I heard Greg McDermott on the Field of 68 podcast. He was talking about this, and he was discussing how hard it is to turn around, like win a game, get to your hotel at 2:30, 3 a.m., and then have to play like at noon on Sunday. Wasn't like bitching. He was asked about it. Like, it, and he was talking about, yeah, well, we're doing everything for like student athlete rights and stuff like that, and then we're making them do this shit for television. Whatever. It is what it is. Regardless, is this the most interesting Sweet 16 game? Iowa State and Illinois?
I think it is, and we've asked several of our experts and analysts at CBS Sports, and most of them agree as well. The Matt Norlanders of the world, Mike O'Donnell, pick the most interesting game, and this is it. Because not only is it evenly matched with a, 2.5-point spread last I saw? Iowa State favored by two?
It's pros Joe's action a little bit, the Joe's on Illinois, but it's pretty even. It is down in some books to 1.5. I don't know, Aiden or Matt, if you could look up and see what our friends at DRF Sportsbook have at it, that would be great. But I have seen some 1.5s out there.
Okay.
So it's moved
a
little.
So not only is it evenly matched, but it's two just completely opposite approaches. Illinois, the number one rated adjusted offense in the country. Iowa State, the number one rated adjusted defense in the country. It's oil and water. What's going to win out? That's what makes it so interesting.
It's similar to the Iowa women's game against West Virginia the other night, which I thought was a phenomenal game. I had all these Iowa fans bitching at me, and I'm like, hey, like, by the way, officiating in women's college basketball is just bad. If you
You're
haven't
just
been
not
watching,
gonna get good officiating there.
If you haven't been watching it for the last 10 years, like, this is just the thing. So if you're new to the sport, great. We're glad to have you, but the officiating's awful. But yeah, like, this is what I love about it. Something has to give between Iowa State's defense and Illinois'
line
offense.
Is 1.5 at DRF.
Okay. But you make a great point in our rundown, Chris, and you've zeroed in on Momchilovic as, man, just a huge key for Iowa State.
Because Iowa State is going to have to score. Like, even if you play great defense against Illinois, I think they're still going to score. They might not score 85 points, but Iowa State's going to have to get a good shooting game and maybe even a great shooting game out of Momchilovic. He was not good, especially early going in the second round. He needs to be the guy that we saw in the Big 12 tournament and the semis and the championship game. That's the player and the shooter that he needs to be against Illinois.
Well, the good thing is he appears to have broken out of that late season slump and has been awesome pretty much the whole postseason. He's stayed very engaged. Remember that Kansas State game at the end of the year, he only took two shots. So it tells you he wasn't seeking his shot. I know Ott's and the staff got in him, you know, about they were pissed.
Usually you get relatively on somebody. They went inside of him.
They got it. They got
inside of him.
They were pissed. When I say like get into him, I don't literally mean it. I mean like, come on. Like pushing you.
I think we knew what you meant.
Well, you always have to. What is your deal with probing? You always go back to probing. Like it's a.
Well, you're the
really
one that said get in him. It's usually they're like he's getting all over him. He's getting on him. You say getting in him. It's that Shenandoah talk or Clarinda, wherever
I'm
the hell
from
you came
Shenandoah.
From.
Don't tell me I'm from Shenandoah.
I did. I was really worried about this game for Iowa State. And wondering why they were favored, because I thought it would be a pick 'em. And then I looked a little bit closer at Illinois, because they have been playing their best basketball this season over the last 10 games. Brad Underwood said it. You can watch it and see. And they've been much better defensively over those games. But when you go and you look, Van Winks, pull up Illinois' schedule, the last 10 games. They've gone 9-1. But who have they really beaten? I mean, when you look at the tournament, they've played two double-digit seeds, right?
Yeah, I wonder if that's a positive for Iowa State.
They beat really Morehead State, and they beat Duquesne in the tournament. Their best game... Freaking
those Duquesne fans. Oh.
Their best game was probably their one loss to Purdue. Their best wins are against Nebraska and Wisconsin in the Big Ten tournament. Those teams were horrible in the NCAA tournament. Horrible. So
horrible.
Who have they really beaten? They beat Iowa twice. They beat Ohio State, Minnesota.
I mean,
look at the schedule. What's their best win?
Well, here's the question I have from an Iowa State scouting perspective. Had they played anybody, scroll back down there, Maddie. I want to see that plays defense remotely close to Iowa State. Like, even remotely. Like, do any of those teams, am I missing something? Pressure-wise. Like, I don't think
Wisconsin used to be known for their great defense, not really anymore. Like Iowa State? No, we'll go back to their non-conference, Matt, because, I mean, their best win on paper...
They played Tennessee.
A game against FAU when they were ranked. FAU, again, one and done in the tournament. They barely made it in. They just... The
lost
schedule,
to Marquette.
They lost to Tennessee. It's just not that impressive. Now, I'm not saying they can't win the game. I'm just saying they are far less battle-tested and proven than Iowa State.
So
Iowa
I'm
State
working
probably
on.
Has... five or six wins better than any win that Illinois has had all season. Maybe more than that.
I'm working on a column for Psych 1 Fanatic, and this blew me away yesterday. We'll see if you can get remotely close. When do you think the last... I just gave you a hint. Do you know the last time Illinois...
Are you
going
to ask me the last time they went
16?
To the Sweet 16? Yes.
Yeah.
It's insane. They
it
haven't
blew
made
my mind.
The Sweet 16... since they went to the national championship game in 2005.
Insane. We were in college.
With all the talent they've had, the good teams they've had. They haven't had a great team, but they've had a lot of good teams. They've won Big Ten championships, and this is their first time. This is Brad Underwood's first time in the Sweet 16 as a head coach. TJ's been there. Not many of these players have been there, but TJ's been there. Maybe that gives him a slight edge. He's been in this situation before.
Speaking of TJ, dude's on a roll. Did you see the transfer they got?
Yeah. We talked about it on the show on Monday. It broke during
that. Oh, yeah, it did. Okay. I'm sorry. Forgot that broke during that.
TJ's out here. TJ's out here leading his team to the Sweet 16 and getting transfers in the transfer portal. Fran has never made the Sweet 16. sitting on his ass, nothing doing in the transfer portal. I think we'll talk more on that in a little bit.
Tony Perkins transfers, or he's transferring. Did that surprise you? I didn't know, like, because the last I remember we had talked, like, will Perkins come back? It was kind of like a nobody really knew if he would take the extra year. He's going to, and frankly, it makes sense for him to go on the free agency market. You average 14 points per game and go get paid. Like, he's not an NBA guy. Not making any money at Iowa, because everybody tells me they don't have any money, somehow the University of Iowa and that giant-ass money-making machine over there in Iowa City can't pay basketball. That doesn't make any sense.
Well, they can't because everybody's apathetic. Nobody wants to give to the Iowa men's basketball program because it's kind of a shit show right now. I think that a lot of the plugged-in fans weren't necessarily surprised, but I would say the majority of fans were. If you weren't, you know, reading message boards and inside content from 24/7 Sports and the like, this probably surprised you. I didn't. I was kind of 50-50 on what he would do. Maybe 33-33-33. Like, try the NBA is 133%. Come back to Iowa is another 33%. Transfer is the other 33%. Did you see the response from Fran McCaffrey on this?
No, I didn't. I haven't seen that.
Van Winks, pull up Fran McCaffrey's response to Tony Perkins going into the transfer portal. It was kind of interesting because, you know, he thanked him for all of his, you know, his hard work and what he's meant to the program. It was, you know, your usual statement. But at the end, he said, you know, in the end, you know, Tony wants to hear, he's got the quote up right now. Tony has aspirations of continuing his career professionally. We wish him the best moving forward. So kind of totally ignoring the fact that he went in the portal. And I mean, I think you can read this one of two ways. One, Fran McCaffrey thinks he's just going into the portal for now and he's going to try the NBA. Or two, does he mean professionally, like, because other programs can pay and Iowa can't? Because you can't tell me that if Indiana or Purdue comes in with a bag, that he's going to turn that down to try to go pro. He's not an NBA player. Maybe he could play overseas and make more money. But I got to think right now the front runner is for him to transfer and make some money next season in his final season of eligibility and then try the professional waters. I just thought it was an interesting comment from Fran.
Yeah, I hadn't seen that. I guess I probably took it the first way. Unless Fran is just that jaded that he will, you know, cryptically plant these seeds and releases about. I don't know. I know that you're hearing it too. We're both hearing that he's gonna play college basketball next year, but who knows? Maybe it's a fluid thing and.
I don't know.
I think Perkins, like, would be really well off to go and play for somebody else for a year.
Yeah.
Because he's got talent that, like, you just always see glimpses of.
Well, when Iowa went on that run, it was thanks in large part to Tony Perkins being the guy that we were hoping he was always going to be.
It's the guy that Iowa's needed. Mm-hmm. You know? If that guy's there all year, like, you're probably in the tournament somehow. And man, like, last year's even a much higher ceiling. What was that game last year? They were like at Indiana or Ohio State, one of those red teams, and Perkins just went off in the second half.
Yeah, they killed Indiana.
Yeah, like, and it was
on,
like,
the road last year.
God, if you could just bottle up that guy. I'm just saying, I think he may be one of those guys that would be really good for him to hear another voice. Yeah, we're already seeing the Indiana stuff with Perkins on the internet. So, anyways, the Iowa women I don't know if I'd call it survival against West Virginia. That was a wild one the other night at Carver Hawkeye Arena. What an atmosphere. Just incredible.
If that game's not at home, I don't know if they win it.
Are we going to get Iowa LSU?
If I had to guess right now, I'd say no. I'd say
both of those teams are a little bit.
Either Iowa or LSU loses in the Sweet 16. Damn. I mean, LSU has been playing with fire. Iowa played with fire in that game. I don't think either one of these teams are playing good enough right now to just say, yep.
I like Iowa's chances better than LSU, I think.
Yeah, well, LSU is it's basically a pick 'em. I think the last I saw, LSU was favored by 1.5 against UCLA.
What's Iowa?
UCLA is a 2 seed. I haven't seen the Iowa spread yet, but neither one of those games is a gimme. But I, unlike a lot of fans and a lot of people that cover the Iowa women, I do want to see Iowa LSU.
Oh, bring it
on. To go to the Final Four. There's a lot of people that don't want to see it, though.
It's like Mayweather-Pacquiao. We have to see it before they're past their prime.
All right, so what is this? LSU.
This is from DRF. LSU is a 3-point favorite over UCLA.
And what about Iowa?
I don't see the line yet.
No line for Iowa. Okay, interesting. Boy, I would take UCLA. Jeez. See, a lot of these women's lines, because there's not nearly as much play on women's lines as there is.
Oh, you can get
is.
Great deals.
Yeah. So Aiden says that he's seeing Iowa -7.5.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You looked at that Iowa-West Virginia line.
That was insane.
15.5?
That was insane.
So that's just people that are kind of maybe Johnny-come-latelys that just love Caitlin Clark. They think Iowa's the best team in the country. You see all the brackets that were filled out in the women's tournament. The like 70% of people that filled out brackets picked Iowa to win the national championship. When South Carolina is the clear favorite.
This episode is brought to you by La Quinta by Wyndham. Your work can take you all over the place, like Texas. You've never been, but it's going to be great because you're staying at La Quinta by Wyndham. Their free bright side breakfast will give you energy for the day ahead. And after, you can unwind using their free high-speed Wi-Fi. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book your stay today at LQ.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, and then you just had this weird situation at LSU where you're waiting for this Washington Post story to come out that nobody would have even known about if it weren't for Kim Mulkey going off. And now we're all just waiting on it. She benches Van Leith in the second half of the game, or to starting the second half of their second round. There's just drama going on there.
There's drama with both teams. I mean, Ryan, who's an Iowa State fan, brings up a good point. He says the best thing for the Iowa women will be to get out on the road.
I don't disagree.
Lots of added pressure playing at home, given their high-profile status. And I think we kind of saw that with... I mean, Caitlin Clark's always been demonstrative on the court, always been extremely emotional. But these last couple games, it's at a different level.
Do you think it's the pressure?
I think it is, yeah. Because, I mean, you lose, you're done. That was Caitlin Clark's last game at Carver, last game in Iowa City, and it was almost her last game as an Iowa Hawkeye.
I think that they're going to blow out Colorado.
You think they get right against Colorado?
Yeah, and I'm less convinced about the Elite Eight round, but like they remind me a little bit of the Houston men. Right now, I think they're going to kill Duke.
Really?
Yeah, I think that game, I mean, if you watch that game against A&M close. Like, the officiating was so screwed up. Not in a bad way, but it was so tightly called. The Iowa women's game the other night, it just, that was a terrible matchup to anybody who had seen West Virginia play. You knew they were going to just get in Iowa's head with that physicality.
We had an analyst on HQ, and she said, "Look, this is a team that they're full court press. They're going to be all over you. It's going to be a little like Kansas State, and they had trouble with Kansas State. It's just a different kind of team, and maybe Iowa won't see a team like that the rest of the way. Now, they're going to see a lot more talented teams. They're going to see teams that they can't just let take wide open threes every time down the court. Because, I mean, West Virginia makes a couple more of those threes that were, but they were wide open all the time. They couldn't make anything."
I've talked too with some of our local media who, while they are very appreciative of the opportunity that it's been to cover this team and the high profile nature of everything, I think that this circus has worn on everybody little bit. And it's totally to be expected. I talked with Lisa Bluter about this on the CW pod last month. And I told her, I said, "Coach, it's the most impressive thing about it to me is that you've got them all on the same page still. These are 18 to 22-year-old women who are being treated like the 95 Bulls everywhere they go. Like, that's hard to keep everyone on the same page, let alone young people from that age group. Like, they're not built for that yet. Like, they're not flying around, you know, private jets playing cards like Pippen and Jordan were, you know, like this is hard. So I think Ryan watching on Facebook today makes a phenomenal point. Like, I think they will blow out Colorado, and then anything could happen in the Elite Eight, regardless of who they play. But I want LSU Iowa. The Iowa women have been, these games, their first two NCAA tournament games have been viewed over 5 million times. It's incredible. What number would Iowa LSU to pull?
And it would be on Monday night, where you don't have to go up against the men.
10 million?
Well, that would be close to last year's national championship. I think last year's national championship game was 10 or 11 million.
It's on a Sunday afternoon. Isn't a Monday night a better?
Well, technically, Sunday is the biggest television night.
Okay.
Monday, though, you get away from the men's tournament. There's nothing else. Like, what else is going on? I guess baseball will be going on by then, but that's baseball. I think it would have a chance to be the most watched game ever. It would have a chance if Kim Mulkey and LSU and Iowa can get there. I wanted to see that in the non-con. We didn't get it because Iowa didn't want even more of a circus, and right now we're kind of seeing why, because it wears on you. I mean, how do you feel if you're her dad right now? There's a camera on him nonstop. Every time something happens, they just cut immediately to her dad's reaction, whether he's cheering or he's yelling at Caitlin for being too emotional.
I love that. It was the most humanizing. Just being a dad, especially a dad of girls, like watching him be like, "Shut up."
Yeah.
I just love it. It's my favorite thing ever. It is, though, man. Like, that family's got so much. Like, there's probably walking to their cars, people are trying to take pictures of them and stuff like that. Like, it. I give them all some grace here because it. And it's just, it's different. But, and I wonder. So I'm so ready. Like, I'm not ready for the season to be over. I'm not saying that, but I am ready to move. I'm really glad now she's not coming back for another year.
Yeah, it would be way too much.
Let's move on and see what she can do for the WNBA. Could you imagine 4 months of that next year with the paparazzi and
No.
Mm-mm. Because she really, she was a really good basketball player. Then she became this inspirational, iconic basketball player who's changing everything. And then now she's become a celebrity. Like, it's like Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift type stuff.
Yes. It's like the Beatles.
Yeah, you got
she's Paul McCartney.
You got bad actors who, like, the worst is the, I don't get on Facebook much, but I do have a professional Facebook page that I post on, and like their algorithms are crazy. Like, do you, and like, you'll just get these random posts. Like, there's now like people out there going through the Iowa women's basketball team's like Instagram photos and like posting them as like trying to get clickbait and stuff like that. It's crazy. Yeah, for real. So I don't know. We'll see. It's a, it's unlike anything we'd ever seen in this state before. I can promise you that. Like, it's wild. Let's do my DRF sportsbook parlay for the Sweet 16. And then we'll get into our kitchen refresh segment here on Two Guys Named Chris. Here we go. I'm rolling chalk. This has been a very chalky tournament. Can you give me a little credit? I had all one seeds in the final four. Now, I don't know if they're going to get there, but I thought like this felt like there was like a very class system in college basketball this year in my mind. So I'm going to roll with it. I think Marquette handles the 11 seed NC State. I love Purdue this year. I really do. I don't think they know how to officiate Edie. He's getting favorable calls. They shoot more free throws than anybody. Gonzaga had a layup in the second round with a Kansas team where their head coach admitted he wasn't even focused on the game. And then again, I told you I think Houston rolls Duke. So I'm going very chalk. I'm going favorites.
What's
three
that
favorites.
Payout?
Aiden would have to look that up for me, what that pays out. But I'm going Marquette -6.5 over NC State, Purdue -5.5 over Gonzaga, and Houston -4 over Duke. That is my favorite pick of the weekend. Houston. And I almost put Iowa State in here. I really did. I just, for all the reasons we talked about, I just, Chris, I would almost, this sounds crazy, but like, I told you, I thought that Washington State matchup, it scared the hell out of me because of how they play. Tempo, 320, long, elite half-court defense, which is Iowa State's kryptonite. Iowa State's going to be able to get in transition. You know, as long as they don't have one, they can't start 3 of 16 against Illinois. You will lose, I promise you that. But it feels like they got that clunker out of the way. I'm confident Iowa State beats Illinois. I don't think that they would beat UConn here. But
the parlay pays out +608, so 6-1. On the parlay.
So we're going Marquette, Purdue, Houston. What do you think about that? You like it?
I kind of like it. Yeah. I worry a little bit about Marquette.
Marquette's my least favorite.
NC State's so hot right now. NC State has won 7 straight win or go home games. 7 straight. They'd win 5 in the ACC tournament, then 2 in the NCAA tournament. I hope their run continues because I don't love Marquette. But for you, I'll ride with you.
I don't love Marquette, but I had to come up with 3.
God, there's some really good games this weekend or this Thursday and Friday. Can't wait. I'm glad I have Friday off. I can stay up late.
Kitchen refresh, Iowa. Get those tax returns back. Update your kitchen. They'll come in and give you a free consultation, and they'll give you your quote. All they got to do is measure, and they'll give you your quote right then, right there. Nobody else does that. They're always, these other camps are trying to rip you off. Not my buddies over at No Pros with KitchenRefreshIowa.com. I'll give you mine on the Hawks. If I'm a guy, I'm putting myself in Owen Freeman's shoes right now. And I can look at this two ways. I can go, wow, this Fran McCaffrey and his staff, they developed Luka Garza to be, you know, the best player in the country for maybe arguably 2 years in a row. So I know I'm going to get developed here. They will make me a good player. But, you know, how important is winning to you? And I look at this, Chris, a little bit like free agency. If you're a good quarterback in the National Football League, but your general manager and coach refuse to go out and be active in the free agent market and be like, what are you doing? Like, you don't have a chance to win. How important is like winning big time to Owen Freeman? any of those young guys, but Owen's the, he's kind of the, he's our, the guy we've identified as like the future of Iowa basketball.
Especially Perkins is gone. If Samford goes to the NBA, man, what's coming back?
Samford's the leader, no doubt, but it's like he's less of a sure thing for to be the future in my mind. If I'm Owen Freeman, I'm having a long, serious conversation with Fran McCaffrey about getting my coach's ass in the portal. And not just in the portal, but like actively making the not just, oh, that guy's a good fit. No. Go out,
just grab some and guy get from some Belmont. Real
Yeah, get real talent that can help you win games in the Big Ten. This is a crucial offseason for Framick. He's got to change. There has to be a way.
Because right
there's
now,
money
it's
in Iowa
like,
City.
It's looking like another rebuilding year. It's looking like back-to-back rebuilding years in year 14 and 15, and that can't happen. I'm 100% with you. Like, you look over at TJ and all the stuff that he's already done, where he's lapped Fran McCaffrey. But right now, this guy is getting ready for a Sweet 16 game, and he already has a piece in place for next season. Already went into the transfer portal and got a big-time guy. Meantime, Iowa hasn't done anything. Fran McCaffrey, he had never been to the Sweet 16, and he hasn't done a thing in the transfer portal yet. I know it's early. But when you look it over is. In Ames and see TJ already getting a guy.
And like then, a real dude who probably will start.
And Iowa needs multiple guys in the transfer portal. And there's just no sign of anything right now. And is that because there's just no money to give him out there? I mean, there's no money? Is it because Fran hasn't started looking yet because he was concerned with the NIT run?
And if I'm Fran, like any coach right now, every coach in the country is dealing with this, I could make a real argument that the transfer portal should not be open, and that would be correct.
It shouldn't
but
be. It shouldn't be.
We,
but
we
it
live
is.
In an evolve or die well, world. You evolve or you die.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in college basketball in 2024. If you're not willing to evolve, and I know like Iowa fans come at me all the time. Well, he's tried. They've tried to be in the portal. You got to win. You got to win in the offseason to win in the season. It's maybe even more important. You know, if you don't have the guys. And my thing is, it's like, okay, maybe they go out and get three guys who are the equivalent of Ben Cricky. Okay. Great. Like
well,
your
that's
best
not
case,
gonna do it.
Your best case scenario
liabilities.
Is, yeah. The best case scenario is you get into the tournament and you pray you can win one game and get to the round of 32. That's not gonna change Iowa basketball, that's my point. And like you have a guy like Freeman. God, him and Samford are great pieces.
Mm-hmm.
Freaking go out and put your chips all in on this year. Because once Samford's gone, man, I'm looking at and I don't know, maybe these recruits they have coming in, but it's like, man, it's you're in year soon to be 15.
But
it is what it is.
And it's a different time in college basketball where you can't, you had the Big Ten freshman of the year. That's not going to make enough of a difference. An 18, 19-year-old is not going to make enough of a difference unless he is the number one player in the country.
Not when everybody else is.
You have to have some older guys. You have to have some really, really good older guys because everybody else is 22 and 23 and 24 years old.
Well, look at, like, let's say Tony Perkins goes to Indiana. That's how they're upgrading.
Mm-hmm.
They're not taking a three-star freshman out of Illinois to try and compete in the Big Ten. Everybody else is doing it. Is it? You may not like it, but it's the reality. I was thinking about this yesterday. It's like, what message are you sending to, like, and same with Samford. It's like, I got 1 year left. Coach, I want to stay here. I like it here. All my friends are here. Maybe I have a girlfriend. I don't know. I've always wanted to be an Iowa Hawkeye. This is where I want to play. But I also want to win. and I can't do it on my own, and I'm looking around this locker room, we got to get help. We got to hit free agency. Hard. If I'm Peyton Sanford, I'm calling up that damn swarm. Hey, I heard you're not supporting basketball enough. Why? Player power, baby. Like, if the coach isn't going to do it, if, I don't know. It's flabbergasting to me how Iowa doesn't have enough money to support basketball. It doesn't make any sense
to me.
They
do have enough money to support it. I just don't, they just don't want to support that program right now.
And you're right.
Because of the apathy.
And that's where you point the finger solely in the direction of Fran McCaffrey.
All right, my kitchen refresh, obviously, on Iowa State, and it's looking ahead at the men's game Thursday night, Sweet 16. Iowa State is one win from a generational step. Like, they've been in the Sweet 16 a lot, but they haven't won there since Y2K. Mm. If you're 30 years old and you're an Iowa State fan, you don't remember Iowa State ever going to the Elite Eight. And the year 2000, even if you're 80 years old, the year 2000, that's the only Elite Eight you remember. Because that's the only time they've been there since 1944. This is a monstrous game.
Yeah.
And if you're a parent and you've got a kid that's an Iowa State fan that's 10 years old.
No school.
Yes. Let that kid stay up and watch the game. This is a monstrous moment. Let the kid stay up. Take Friday off work. Like, I do think you've... Because you're going to be in no position to go to work, win or lose. Right? You're going to be devastated if they lose this game. You're going to be high as a kite if they win, and you're not going to be able to go to sleep. Take Friday off work. Let the kids stay home from school. Make it a late night. Because this is one of the biggest games Iowa State has had.
And it eerily sets up similar to Michigan State game where you're basically playing a road game in the Elite Eight against the best team.
This is where
country.
Iowa State got screwed.
Yeah, not the last weekend. It's right here.
Having to play potentially Connecticut in Boston.
I was talking to this bartender last night who I was asking him about UConn fans. And I'm like, just give me an idea. I told him what I do. And I was like, what will it be like? And he told me that his bar, it's right here by the garden. It was the hockey. What do they call the hockey Final Four? It's a big deal.
The Frozen Four.
Yeah. The Frozen Four was here like a couple years ago. And they were like the official place for UConn. And he goes, I've never, outside of like a Celtics in the NBA Finals, I've never seen so many people from one fan base in a spot in my life. So those UConn fans, like, I didn't really realize it, Chris, until I got out here. And then I pull up a map and I'm like, shit, like there's UConn grads everywhere in Boston.
What would you guess the percentage split of fans is going to be in that arena this weekend?
Four schools, at least 60% UConn on Thursday night.
How about Illinois compared to Iowa State? If UConn's got 60%, you're leaving 40%.
About the same, because I'm guessing Illinois has more alumni out here.
So Iowa
State just doesn't have much.
I was talking with Matt Norlander yesterday, and he's going to be there. And I asked him, and he thought it would be 50% UConn, 30% Iowa State, 15% Illinois, 5% San Diego State. And I said, no, it's not going to happen that way. I think a lot of national people are going to be surprised at how few, relatively speaking, how few Iowa State fans will be there, because there's just not alums out there. It's really hard to get there from Des Moines,
out of
Iowa.
Money.
And
been on the road for
yes,
3 weeks.
Just can't do it. There's not enough Iowa State fans out there. They don't have an alumni base that is like that compared to, you know, Illinois. I would say it's going to be, I would be surprised if Illinois doesn't have more fans than Iowa State.
Yeah, no, I think best case for Iowa State is that they're even with Illinois. Best case.
Van Winks says he's got some news from the NCAA.
Yeah, NCAA President Charlie Baker just released a statement regarding some sports betting topics. He says sports betting issues are on the rise across the country, with prop bets continuing to threaten the integrity of competition, leading to student athletes and professional athletes getting harassed. The NCAA has been working with states to deal with these threats, and many are responding by banning college prop bets. So the NCAA is really working to get rid of any prop bets involving players.
So that's really interesting, and I don't believe you can prop bet on individual players in Iowa. The Iowa legislature was all over that from the beginning.
I can't remember if it's just players from the state of Iowa or if it's all of college sports.
Well, I don't know, but I do know this because I witnessed it, and then I heard some people talking about it, and I witnessed this for multiple teams from Press Row last weekend. I know that when Iowa State took the floor on Saturday, there was a guy in the front row screaming at the players, "I bet on you, don't fuck it up," all this. And then I heard it was one of those Duquesne fans behind me that was just harassing every player that went by him about his bets.
Yeah, so Chris in the comments says you can prop bet players in Iowa, just not players from Iowa colleges.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, because they're trying to protect the players from people getting to them, to like that NBA situation right now. This guy, it's God, what's his name? Porter. Michael Porter Jr.'s brother.
Isn't it some bench warmer on?
Yeah, but like, did you read about the irregularities they found in Vegas and stuff?
Yes. So what he was doing is he was going out there and then faking an injury so that he
hit the under.
So that he hit the under on his props.
Well, you know, I'll say this as a guy who I think sports betting is, you know, everybody knows my thoughts on it. This is why you regulate things. So you can crack down on it and you can make it better. And there's always hiccups when that happens. And there's always stuff that there's always unintended consequences. But this is why you make it legal, because you've got now a massive organization like the NCAA speaking up and using its influence. When you make it legal, they can catch stuff like that easier. We're just in the middle of it. That would be my opinion on what Baker just had to say. Okay. Any more meat to pick off of this bone here, Hassel? Iowa State men, Iowa women. We talked recruiting a little bit. What's going on with your dad? He's been really aggressive with me on Twitter and also in the comments today.
I don't know.
He's really upset with me.
I don't know what the hell he's talking about. He's using words that you can't use. Like, this is why we'll never allow him on the show, because he's going to get us canceled. I mean, you can't use the P word in 2024.
He's called me the P word like four times in the last
publicly,
48 hours. Yeah.
Like on this show, on Twitter. It's disgusting. It really is.
What do you have to say for him?
Nothing. It's disgusting. It's horrible. And I'm sorry. On behalf of all Hassels everywhere, I'm sorry.
I am offended.
You should be. Your dad would never do that to me. Ever. Mr. Williams would never call me.
He would literally just send you a picture of a dog rubbing its ass on the carpet.
I didn't get a chance to show you what a shit show it was in Omaha at Dave Z's house last weekend. We kind of talked about it, but the amount of injuries suffered throughout the course
of... Is that a bruise?
So this is my upper thigh.
What the hell? You have a blood clot?
A guy celebrating knocked me over into the ottoman that had like this wooden drink holder thing on it, hit my thigh on that. I woke up the next morning, could barely move my leg.
What is wrong? Like, do you have circulation problems?
And then, so that the guy that bumped me the next day, broke his finger celebrating. He has to have surgery on his pinky finger. He has to have surgery from celebrating at Dave's house.
Why do you think I didn't want to go out there?
And then somebody, and I've blurred out the faces, or Van Winks has helped blur out the faces. Somebody threw a full beer across the room against the wall. Okay, go sound full again on that, Van Winks.
So, do you have the video of Dave Z after Iowa State won? Can we play that?
I don't have that. I didn't send that to
Can I play that? Winks.
Then you had a guy. All of this stuff happened on separate days, by the way. Then you had a guy who puked all over Dave's recliner. I mean, just all over the arm of it, onto the carpet.
This is why I didn't want to go out there.
His wife had to clean it up. Oh, all four of these things that we've talked about, these happened on four different days.
And Dave's wife and kids were there.
Oh, yeah. The kids were there. Everybody else, like, there are other people from the neighborhood bringing their kids over. Mm. Well, you missed out, though. We wish you know who came?
Well,
Mark Woodley came from KWL's finest. Mark Woodley came. We shared some fellowship.
I stuck around and then everything was stolen from me. So I probably should have gotten out there.
There's no robberies out in the suburbs.
You sent me a video. I was with Fails and we both got the text from you at the exact same time. We're waiting in the locker room for Iowa State's locker room to open. I'm literally standing there with Fails. And we get this text, and you shoot the video, and it's Dave Z swilling beers all around his own living room. Okay, imagine that. You're in your own living room, and it's Dave going, all I do is win, 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 no matter what.
So all the kids, we're just like, I guess that's a thing in his house. Like all his kids, his little kids were asking him, do all I do is win. Do all I do is win. And so I guess he does this after.
And how does this house just not smell like stale beer? Like,
oh man, that next Sunday morning we went down there and it was a disaster. It was a dungeon. It smelled like a locker room.
There were, Circle Herc there was says
loose meat what? Everywhere.
Guys can't have fun anymore.
Williams, don't 49er. Give it to me. If you were there, you would have gone even more nuts than everybody else.
I would have been doing backflips off the couch. 49er Forever, totally disagree with you. He says, I'll bet Dave doesn't do that again. You are wrong.
Go back to the Van Winks. Go back to the video of the guy, the blurred out guy throwing the beer, the full beer. Oh, Van Winks is gone. He left.
We have Van Winks had to leave.
He has a meeting. I guess we don't
go into the B team.
So the reason he did that.
Aiden's the A team.
Yeah, Aiden. Hey,
I'm very protective of Aiden. I can never say anything bad about him. He's like my son.
So. Everybody
unless he acts like Caitlin Clark, and then I'm going to be like, shut up! God, I love that video.
Everybody in that basement had Creighton -3.5. Okay?
Oh,
and many of them are Creighton fans. Yes, against Oregon. And so what happened there was... This was...
Jesus.
You hear the announcer go, timeout, Oregon! Oregon had just hit a three to tie the game with like 10 seconds left. And that meant that this bet was close to being dead. Well, Creighton missed a game-winning shot. It then went another overtime, and Creighton covered. You should have seen the celebration when Creighton not only won, with all his Creighton fans, but covered. And the scene was unlike anything I've ever seen. You had people on one night One night they were over, decked out in red. Everybody's wearing Nebraska gear.
Oh, yeah.
And then the next night, the same people all in blue. Creighton gear.
I don't understand how you can do that. Well, the Iowa, Jaskers. You and I fans do that.
Well, I mean, look, I do that. I root for Iowa and Iowa State and Drake now. I mean, I didn't before, but now I do.
Yeah, I root for Drake. I like you and I. I'm really, really loyal to my friends. And unless Jacobson will unblock you on Twitter, I don't think I can root for the Panthers. I never rooted for you and I. But James Pollard, who's a neat kid, who's on that, he's a manager there. He makes me want to root for him. So, but I'm really pissed off at Jacobson about his treatment, how he's treated you over the last 5 years or so.
I don't really even think he's aware of it anymore.
Really pisses me off.
Because he saw me when I was calling that game, his eyes lit up, gave me extra time.
He kicked me out of practice that one day. I told you that story, right?
What?
He knows me because I'm a Mac guy. I'm in the Mac circle, yeah. And he's a Mac guy, and like we're all. And I was there calling an Iowa State women's game. They were playing at the McLeod Center, and the men were practicing. And I'm there setting up my gear. And the SID like sent me in there, and he's like, "Yeah." And I wasn't being disrespectful, and like. Three of the guys from his coaching staff come over and like hug me again. I know all these guys.
Mm-hmm.
They're all my buddies. I've known them for.
He really kicked you out?
Didn't want anybody in practice because coaches are so.
Wow.
Well, I think they were playing Iowa State, and I think he.
Oh, he's like, oh, this psych clown is going to pass all this information.
He didn't do it. He had one of his goons come over and get me.
Oh, really?
It was one of my. I don't remember. I don't remember who it was, but. Come up to me, he's like, "Man, I can't believe I have to ask you this, but Coach wants you to." And I'm like, "Really?
Wow!
Like, all what right. am I gonna do? I'm sitting here setting up my radio. Oh, I'm taking notes on you and I's defensive action and texting Fred Hoiberg. Like, come on.
The side underneath inbound play.
These coaches are all insane. They're all. Right,
I got a skedaddle.
All right, I could do this all day. I can't actually. I got to go on.
You got a big day.
Big 12 Sirius XM Radio if you want my.
Oh.
Going on there with Dave Archer and Ari Temkin here in about 25 minutes.
Okay.
And then heading over to the garden and should be a good day. Thanks, man. This was fun.
It was. Good work, Van Winks and Aiden Wyatt. And Chris Williams.
Aiden, if you don't get up the podcast early, I'm going to get in you.
Please don't.
You know what? I can't stand when I have to wait for podcasts. I can't stand it.
Get it up.
Oh.
We'll see how quickly young Aiden can get it up.
Get it up, brother.
Before I get in him.
Get it up and get it in.
Two guys on Iowa Everywhere. We'll be back next week.
Iowa Everywhere.